When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, folks, and welcome to the Metallica Report. I'm Stefan Shirazi, editor of the band So What magazine.
And I'm Renee Richardson, director of philanthropy for Metallica's foundation, All Within My Hands. This is your official weekly Metallica podcast, the only inside source, bringing you all the news from the band's HQ and studios deep in the heart of Northern California. All right, you guys, we have a very special fan discussion with occasional bits of debate podcast for you. As we welcome from Metallica's German fan club, St. Germany, Oliver Morningweg is with us. From the U.S. chapter of Virginia Fuel, we've got Eric Ford. And from the Nebraska U.S. chapter, the Outlaw Corn, we've got James Doak, Derek Christensen, and Glenn Lewis.
And for everyone listening, we're going to be getting into M72, riffs, community, and look, general expectations and excitement over M72's 2024 kickoff, which is happening in a matter of weeks. We'll even be discussing Metallica's greatest ever riff, maybe two. I mean, we might allow them two, right, Renee?
I do believe we will have no choice. But before we get going, let's check in with our Spotifyers this week. You know, we asked the question, besides Metallica performing, what are you most looking forward to on the upcoming 2024 M72 World Tour? And I got to call you guys out. Only two of you followed the directions. Because most of you mentioned things about the performance. So Ian Davies, who said he's looking forward to a very first meetup of the members of the newly minted Call of Cthulhu local chapter in Copenhagen. And they're going to be doing a group visit to the Cliff Memorial and Museum.
That's great. I'm going to actually look those guys up. Ian, looking forward to hopefully seeing you there.
And one more for you. Bruno Gonzalez says that they're looking forward to the new merch and the new art posters, which I think we all kind of have a fondness for.
Before we get into this, I do want to do one of those sort of little TV quiz show ID type things. So I'm going to go to each of you one at a time and ask you to introduce yourself, where you're from, your Metallica affiliation. And I'm also going to want one crazy Metallica moment you can share, but in 10 seconds or less. Oliver, why don't we start with you?
Yes. Hi, I'm Oliver. I'm the chapter head of the St. Germany local chapter. I'm into Metallica since 1987. And the most crazy thing is, of course, our chapter.
Yeah, very good. He's off to a flyer. Top that one.
This is Derek Christensen, Omaha, Nebraska, member of the Outlaw Corn. In a Metallica since 87, 88. And my crazy thing is I helped with the first two Metalla bashes in San Francisco and did get to hang out with Lars a bit in the Hotel Beresford Arms after the second one and saw them perform with Creeping Death Band during the first one.
Bad luck. Well, Lars, no. Exactly. No, hanging out with Lars in the Beresford Arms, that sounds like a date made in heaven. The ante's being upped. James, what you got?
James Doak from Omaha, Nebraska, also part of the Outlaw Corn. Cool, crazy thing was at the Minneapolis show in 2009. It was actually my birthday that I went to the show, and Kirk gave me a guitar pick. So
that is very cool.
Nice.
Eric.
This is Eric Ford. I'm with the Virginia Fuel chapter. The craziest Metallica story for me would be in 92, my brother and I literally raced through traffic in DC following Lars's limo to his hotel so that we could meet him. And we did.
Great.
He was super cool. There were a bunch of people out there hanging out and he was signing stuff and very appreciative. Yeah, it was great. Yeah.
So the local equivalent of the Beresford Arms was also a host to you and Lars for a night. All right, Glenn.
Hi, I'm Glenn Lewis. I'm from the Nebraska chapter of the Outlaw Corn. I've been a Metallica fan since I was 9 years old, so about 1989. And my craziest moment for me would have to be when I got to meet James most recently in St. Louis at the meet and greet for the book signing.
Oh, yeah.
For Messengers. And then also did not originally intend on having Snake Pit passes for that weekend, but ended up in the Snake Pit, got passes. And it was just the most amazing time of my life.
What's was that your first time in the pit?
Yes, I've been on the rail, you know, when they're like when they had the hardwired indoor tour, but you know, there's no snake pit for that one. So that was my first time actually in the pit, and it was awesome. I mean, it was, you know, like I've been a, you know, I remember when they had the snake pit back in the Black Album tour, and you know, always seeing that as a kid, like, oh, one day I hope to be in that pit.
Yeah.
Finally happened. So yeah, I was like, I can die now. So
No. Don't say no. That.
Exactly. You know what I mean.
Don't do that.
No, right.
I know what you mean.
You know what I mean. That was like a bucket list beyond bucket list.
Yeah.
And actually
for sure.
I have to say as well, so it was that would have been a great moment to meet James as well. I mean, in those signings, I thought he was particularly clear and extremely giving of himself. Like every interaction he had was extremely personal, and he was fully invested in it. I mean, as they all are in what they do, but he was especially invested in that. So I'm glad you got to shake his hand and have a word.
Most definitely. I can confirm everything you said. It was a very special moment for me, and just, you know, his words, what he had to say, like, I knew that, you know, it meant something to him. Well, yeah. So it was a pretty awesome moment. So
that's great. Well, Renee, here we are. We can shape this conversation going forward. Why don't you kick it off?
Oh, that sounds like a good plan. Let's ask the same question we asked our Spotify listeners. Outside of the performance, you know, the Metallica shows, what are you most looking forward to on tour? And Glenn, let's start with you.
I would say for me, it's really just the camaraderie with all the fans, your chapter members, meeting fans from all over, you know, just seeing all walks of life at the show and just, you know, having that moment, you know, that whole weekend of unity. I was fortunate enough to go to the Arlington weekend and the St. Louis weekend last year, and just going everywhere around Metroplex or St. Louis and seeing people in Metallica shirts, like everywhere I went, everywhere, gas station, a restaurant, clear across one side of the Metroplex, one over here, just everywhere you went. And it was just kind of like, you know, you see a guy wearing a Metallica shirt or a kid, and you just start talking, and, you know, met a few people along the way from other chapters, and just meeting everybody that, you know, we all have that in common. And it's like one, like I said, it's Metallica family, just seeing family.
To piggyback off of that, when I was in, I think it was in Arlington also, we did, you know, a food drive, and everybody, all the fans came out and we were packing food together. And I learned from some fans that they just met each other and ended up rooming together. You know, they made lifelong friendships out of that strike up conversation that you talk about by people just wearing the Metallica shirt and the Metallica gear. So I'm glad to hear that everybody, you know, decides to strike up a conversation.
I will say that to echo, this is Derek, what Renee was saying. Yeah, I went out to Phoenix last year, and that was the big part. And that's what I'm looking forward to when I get to Minnesota this year, is just catching up with not just other people from Nebraska that are going, but also with other people that I've met along the way. You know, back in 2019, you know, I met a guy through our chapter head, Jameson Kalantok, that lives in Denver. And I've been out to visit him in Denver, for, I don't know, 2-3 times for Colorado Avalanche games. It is that kind of ongoing friendships. And then you look for the other people that you can meet along the way that are new to you. You know, whether they're friends for the weekend or, you know, that ongoing lifelong friends, it's really that, as, you know, Glenn initially brought up, is that camaraderie and just enjoying a common ground.
It's interesting to me. I mean, we talk a lot on this pod, and indeed been saying it probably amongst ourselves for decades, actually, that there's a great similarity in communities between this band and the Grateful Dead in terms of, you know, when Deadheads see each other, or if they see the logo, if they see the dancing bear, you know, when you look across the road, as you both, someone said earlier, the gas station, you see, it's like, oh, wow, it's a Metallica fan. I was interested, is that truly how you feel? I mean, is the music, look, we're going to get into the music soon, very important, but are those interactions, those moments of recognition between strangers that make you friends, are they more important or every bit as important as the music these days to you, knowing that you are, you know, you have a family and a tribe that's out there, members of whom you may never have seen? And if so, which of the band's logos is the one that catches your eye the fastest? Which one that you look and you're like, whoa, one of mine, one of ours, we got a chat.
Well, this is Eric. I have an answer for that because I have a tattoo. This is my one tattoo that I have, which was on their amps for a while. And that, yeah. I loved that so much that I had to get the tattoo.
You got
to
spell that out though. Being a radio man, spell it out.
Yeah, first. That's true. Now I think it was on the Death Magnetic tour. I'm pretty sure this is when they first had it on their amps, was the M with the line through it, with the kind of circle around it too. So
gotcha. Glenn was showing off.
Ninja Star.
Ninja Star. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oliver, any tattoos, Oliver?
Oh, no.
Not here either.
It's pretty cool. You've all been, or some of you have been showing tattoos of logos that instantly resonate. But again, just to reemphasize that point or get some clarification, the community, knowing people, seeing strangers with these logos that, you know, solicit conversations, that is as important a factor these days in 2024 of being a Metallica fan as anything else. Is that an accurate thing to say?
I would agree.
Bonus points if it's the St. Anger Fist.
Yes.
Yeah. Very good. What extra outside the gig activities are you most looking forward to in the M72 weekend?
This is Eric. I mean, for me, like I said before, I missed the bands that were playing. I hope that they do that again with having some bands play in the parking lot. I would love to see that. I hope that there's some sort of book signing. Maybe Ross von Hoffman will be there. Maybe they'll do some signings. That would be cool. And maybe one of the band members will show up to those signings. I would love any of that stuff to happen. So that's kind of what I'm hoping for the weekend.
And I saw Oliver's hand come up. Oliver, what are you looking forward to?
Yes, I'm looking for the pop-up store for sure. It's not clear if we got one in Munich. There's no news about it. But we have a pretty packed program from our chapter for the night between at the Backstage Club with a lot of charity. It's the month of giving. We're going local with the Munich Food Bank. We have some Q&A with Rene. We have John Cruz, who played with Cliff Burton back in the day. We have the Metallica tribute band going on, a huge area with a great beer garden, lots of fun, hopefully great weather.
Yeah, we're going to be exhausted in Germany, I'll tell you that. No that sounds, sleep till Germany.
That's pretty good.
Actually, no sleep till Italy, I would say.
Yeah, I see a few people on their phones looking up prices to Munich right now. That's what I can see going on. Yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, now let's get to the meat of it, shall we? The greatest Metallica riff ever, and why?
For me, it's Battery. It's yeah. that main riff, the gallop, that kind of inverted chord at the tail of it, and it's one of the quintessential thrash riffs of all time. So can't go wrong with Battery.
That's when Battery also made my list. It's actually the first Metallica song I heard from a different angle, because I have zero musical talent beyond listening. You know, it's just for me, it's all about how it hits me, where, mm-hmm. where, you know, It feels so, you know, battery is on my list. But really to break it down to one,
you can have luck. You can have two. You can have another.
Honestly, I went very obvious with the one that I would put forward. I'd say Master of Puppets, because whether it's the intro, whether it's the middle, it has everything and it hits. But I also throw Frantic in there.
Good. There we go.
The intro to Frantic, it's just so aggressive and bouncy to me, and it hits just right for me. And it's purely based on on how I feel. And so that's there. And then the final one I'm going to throw out that you guys can discuss is I come up with a Halo on Fire as far as a new one, because to me, it's the entire song, whether it's the heavy groove intro, the ominous melancholy main riff, or that kind of like epic uplifting middle part that, you know, goes into, you know, the whole return to sender, or the end where it ramps up into Hello Darkness. So it's a riffapalooza there. So,
well, that is a riffapalooza. Who's got some more to add to that pile?
For me, there's a sleeper riff from Hardwired, the song Am I Savage? There's a riff coming out of that song. It's got the harmonics. That riff.
Oh, yeah.
And look, James pointed out that riff is his favorite riff on the album. So I'm not the only one that's saying it. So.
I'll add some. Well, the one I initially thought of first is the breakdown Creeping Death riff. You know, just before the chant, just the energy of that.
Riff.
Yes, exactly. Right. You know, when I listen to that riff, it just, you know, starts the blood boiling, makes you just get, you know, and you know, when it's live, you know, seeing everybody around chant, and, you know, like there's just something about that breakdown, that riff.
The best live moment ever.
It is.
I'm not having that. The best live moment ever. Better than Disposable Heroes, Night 2, Mexico, in the mid to late 2000s.
So I'm chasing that song.
That riff. That is one of my favorite riffs, for sure.
I've just butchered it, by the way. But
you're gonna get to play that in Minnesota so I can finally hear it live?
The request is in, gentlemen, Minnesota, if we can please get that on the set list. Thank you. Disposable Heroes. Yes. I'm going to drag Oliver into this. Come on, Oliver, you're in the background, but I feel that you've got a battery of riffs, if you'll pardon the pun, to throw our way.
I always go with battery because it was the thing that got me infected.
Mm-hmm. Infected. Fantastic. We are all infected.
It was in February 1987, and a friend of mine, we went skiing, gave me his headphones from his Discman and said, "Oh, you're into Iron Maiden? Listen to this."
As you were skiing?
As you were skiing.
Yes, at the hotel.
Oh, thank God for that. I had an image of you listening to Battery while you're going down a slope.
Oh, no, that's good.
You're awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome. Exactly, yeah.
Great.
And the very second time I had exact the same feeling was when I heard the first drops of Send Anger.
You mean the actual track?
Yes.
Yeah. I just wanted to make sure you didn't mean Frantic. The
Frantic,
track.
Right. That's what I was thinking too.
You meant the title track itself. Renee, I think we should round off with just one final question about M72, and just why don't you tell us what you have enjoyed the most about the M72 production, and, you know, what you're most looking forward to, you know, revisiting with the M72 production in whichever shows you manage to get to.
Let's start with Oliver.
For me, it's the impression of the huge stage, the whole setup when you first come into the arena. I mean, the Hardwire stage was big. This one is unbelievably huge when you see it in person. So that's the thing I'm really looking forward to get into the arena and smell the stage.
Smell the stage.
Yeah. Sure.
No, I like that. No, because you do. There is that. there is that scent when you walk into the arena of the kind of the gear and a little bit of that dry ice or whatever that's lingering around, and you could smell electric cables. No, I mean, it sounds strange, but I'm with you all the way. I get it. I get that. I get that.
Yeah. This is Eric. I honestly have not had a chance to see the M72 live yet. The last show I was at was the 40th anniversary in San Francisco. So this will be my first. Yeah, this will be my first M72 show. So I'm counting on the days to Boston. I can't wait. So, I'm just.
What have you seen? It's obviously you've seen.
I mean, I've seen clips. Of course.
So what? So what you've seen are in media. What are you most looking forward to engaging with live?
Well, you know, it's funny. Normally, when I go to Metallica shows, I try to get closer. But this time, I was like, you know what? I want to see the full. So I got upper seats. Because I've seen the big monitors they've got, the big. So I kind of want to see from the wide view, and just experience the whole thing from a further further point. So that's kind of what I'm looking forward to the most.
Glenn here. I went to the Arlington weekend, and I was more like in the middle upper area, and got to see the large scale of the show, how big the production was. First thing I thought to myself is like, they've outdid themselves once again. It's just keeps getting bigger and better. And, in this case, more immersive. And I really enjoyed the view from where I was. It really, being where I was, I think it was like the 200 section or something. It's the vastness of it, the lights, all the visuals, the sound was excellent. As from that view, it was, very impressive. And then I went to see them in St. Louis. And I was, like I said earlier, I was in the Snake Pit, got to see it from a whole different viewpoint. And again, just the largeness, the grandeur of it, those towers are so tall. I think I saw somewhere in a video, it takes nearly 100 semi trucks to bring in the entire set for everything. So just the vastness of it was just like, wow. Like, how do they get all this in here? Like when I said I saw them in Arlington, I was just amazed by so many people in that stadium and just how big it looked. And I know that they had to have moved the screen up from the Dallas Cowboys. They had this massive video screen. They had to have, used the pulley system or whatever to take it up.
But the Snake Pit was better, wasn't it?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
This is Derek. I did Snake Pit in Phoenix. And like I said, I've been on the floor up against the rail for a number of shows, but being literally inside it and in the middle there and right up against it, it was great. Like I said, it was, going to Minnesota, I'll probably just do regular floor, but I would be curious to see it from higher up. And I've thought about, but part of what I really like about the show is kind of being a little bit down there in the mix more, especially if I know people. I knew a couple of people. I met a lot of new people in Phoenix, but being able to, like I said, that was really cool that the Snake Pit there that they, kind of opened it up a bit and made it wider, because to just be in the show right in the middle of it and have it going on literally all around you was very cool. So like I said, I'll get reverse floor view, I guess, in Minnesota.
Sounds good. And I guess we can close out by saying we all want to hear Inamorata live, right? Is that the song? Is that the one?
That's the song.
Is there any other song that you're really waiting for live?
Disposable Heroes, Unnamed Feeling, Phantom Lord. For newer stuff, I'd say Screaming Suicide.
This is obviously a pod that lends itself to the long form, longer form than we have time for, unfortunately. I'd love to have another conversation about music again with you guys. That was getting deep and intense, and I really appreciate some of the stuff that you shared. Thank you very much indeed, everyone, for being part of this. Oliver, we will see you in a few weeks, and hopefully, chaps, we'll see the rest of you, maybe in Boston, maybe wherever the M72 shows.
Minneapolis.
Hopefully.
Minneapolis.
Hopefully we will see you there. But thank you very much indeed. Much appreciated.
Thanks for letting us feel like a little member of your local chapter.
Yeah, no doubt.
Super cool.
You're welcome.
Yep. Talk Metallica anytime, anywhere.
Thanks for everything you do, everyone on the podcast here. We definitely appreciate what you do.
Yes.
Let's let Eric say, all right, we're out of time.
Well, we are way the fuck out of time now, so we have to get going.
See ya.
The Metallica Report is produced by Metallica HQ, Pantheon Media, and PopCult.
If you like what we're doing here, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Be sure to visit Metallica.com/podcast to submit your questions, offer your thoughts, and become a part of this podcast.
Copyright 2023, all rights reserved.